It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go.
Head
on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 27th day of July, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us live on the interweb tubes, as well as occasionally the podcast. And a quick program note about the podcast. Yesterday, right after the program, I went to upload the program to Podbean, like I always do, and found out that, lo and behold, yes again, and in case anybody was wondering, Podbean sucks. Because, I pay them. Every month, they get paid, and I pay them for unlimited uploads. Mm-hmm. Unlimited ability to upload the program. Well, yesterday I went to upload at Podbean, and I said, you have exceeded your uploads for the month. It's kind of like going to an all-you-can-eat restaurant, or having a plate of food, and then having the manager come over and say, "You gotta go." It says it's all you can eat. Well, you've had all you can eat. Get out. So, for the time being, and I put this up on social media. I will continue to put it up. For the time being, the podcast will exist at whiterosesociety.org. Yes, we're sure of that. Are we sure it's not unlimited downloads, listens? No, we are certain of that. It's specifically unlimited uploads. We're sure. And for the time being, until the first day of August, the podcast will be at whiterosesociety.org. It's always there anyway. This is a matter of redundancy, but a lot of people get the program from Podbean, who, by the way, did I mention they suck? Because they do. But that's by way of a program note. Let's see here. If you'd like to augment your live listening experience, yes, I forgot that part. If you'd like to augment your live listening experience, run on over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, and once you've picked out a screen name and a password, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And capably moderated by longtime indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, just hasn't been doing a lot of space folding lately because there's just nowhere cool enough to fold space into. He is capably assisted by his longtime co-moderator. That would be Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy. Yes. And I'm in there, too. Yeah, so all kinds of fun and frivolity takes place during the time when the program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Billable Rick wants to know, how does Podbean compare to Rush Limbaugh? Well, they both suck. The one difference being that Podbean is still alive, whereas Flush Flemball ain't. He's pining for the fjords. He's singing in the infernal choir, eternal as it were. Yeah, I know. Ralph says, what the fuck for Podbean? It didn't used to be this way. They just kind of... The hell? They changed the rules as they go because they'd like to wrench some more money out of me. And speaking of which, every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so consequently, we offer up thanks to our 27th day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks indeed. Okay, interesting noises outside. Thanks to Robert in Australia. Thank you very kindly for being our 27th day of the month subscriber, Robert. And stay safe up over, down under. I know y'all have your own fair share of loonies because, you know, you caught it from us. You know, the crazy part. Mm-hmm. But where does that leave us? Well, we will try to raise $600 this evening to come up even with this part of the week. And, well, we're looking to finish it. Well, Friday finishes the month of July. So that's where things stand. Let's see. So try to raise $600. Yeah. Lee in New York says, I heard you say that Sparky has not been folding space. How about spindling and mutilating? Just asking, as someone who remembers to do not fold, spindle, or mutilate. Yeah. Sparky says it's actually cool enough today. Maybe just didn't feel like it. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, maybe you would have had to fold space with Grady, too, and maybe Grady's not into having space folded. Anyway, it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, a day for the, if not celebration, at least noting of Titanic right-wing intellect, and Titanic intellects of other forms as well. Let's see here. Let's begin the... hooray for Roger and Rick, Joey writes. I just wanted to say thank you to Roger in Oregon for going and confronting management at an establishment that employed a maggot who was sporting a fuck Antifa inscription on his hat while working. Good job, Roger. And that deserves a cowbell. I thought we cowbelled that on Friday, but maybe I didn't. If I didn't, I apologize. Joey says, my great-grandfather and his son, my grandfather, served this country during World War II, fought against fascism and the axis of evil that tried to destroy democracy. Well, I knew we wouldn't get very far without Giraffe jumping in. In another story out of Texas, an asshole maggot judge from the 5th Federal District Court in the middle of a raging pandemic in a state which, by no coincidence, is experiencing terrible rampant outbreaks of the COVID virus, decided that it was of utmost importance to harass those covered under DACA. Judge Andrew Hannon, we talked about him last week, decided to rule against the Dreamers recently when he ruled that President Barack Obama exceeded his authority in establishing DACA in 2012. The judge's ruling seems to depend largely on a technicality, a violation of the Administrative Procedure Act that occurred when the process that created DACA didn't include an opportunity for public comment. Therefore, Judge Hannon said DACA never gained status as a legally binding policy. However, Judge Hannon says that the government should not take action against current DACA recipients. Gee there, Judge Hannon Moran, if you do not believe the government should take any action against DACA recipients, then why did you bother to make this ruling in the first place? What, just to cause them grief and anxiety, or just to scare the shit out of them? I'm only a giraffe, but I might suggest you rule on something COVID-related that might actually save your state from another massive outbreak and save thousands of jobs, people's lives, instead of harassing DACA recipients. Yeah, that was quality, what Jeffrey did with Hannon made. Yeah. On this day in 1909, the world's airplane record for two men, no, not just one person in a plane, but two in tow, broke a record. Orville Wright was the pilot, and Lieutenant Frank P. Lamb of the Army Signal Corps was the passenger, and they flew a 1 hour and 12-minute flight at a speed of about 40 miles an hour to break the record. And on this date, 40 years later, from the Wright Field in 1949, the 500-mile-an-hour jet engine de Havilland Comet, designed as a commercial jet airliner, flew for the first time with a test pilot at the controls. And just think, only 20 years later, this week, 1969, we were celebrating moon landing. Unbelievable. Yeah, once upon a time, this country could do great things without billionaires. But speaking of flying high, Jeffrey's on cloud nine today. Yes, thanks to Billable Rick for all of his legal expertise in helping Jeffrey adopt a baby giraffe who coincidentally just happened to be named Jeffrey. So Jeffrey is officially a father now with a son by the name of Jeffrey Jr. Bilbo came across Jeffrey Jr. at an estate proceeding in Orange County and immediately went through all the proper legal channels to have Jeffrey Jr. adopted by my Jeffrey here in Ohio. So thanks to Billable Rick, Jeffrey is now legally a father. Cowbell for Billable Rick, yes. Absolutely, and I have a photo, and it's positively adorable. And this has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 27th day of July, 2021, with Giraffrey. Wondering if Elon Musk can take all the maggots to the moon. And there's a $10 maggots to the moon challenge, which will hopefully be met, and if it is, we'll be on the way to rounding up the $600 that we need to get even with the week and finish up the last $1,000 or so of bill paying here at the end of the month. So thank you Joey and Jeremy. His real name, consistent with Ms. Atwood's book of Trump, says Steve in New York. But, you know, I wanted to share something with you. I have a real piece of hate mail here. If it wasn't a real piece of hate mail, I couldn't do that with it. It is real. And it arrived at the mailbox today. I had to be in Beckley, so I went by and checked the mail. I got a piece of news copy as well. Very, very pleasant. It came from Andy the Angry Jew. It's from the Chicago Tribune of Sunday, the 18th of July, 2021. And lo and behold, on the cover of their life and travel section, there it is. Rapid Pulse, the country's newest national park, is primed for whitewater rafting adventure in West Virginia. Dear God, they're telling the greater Chicagoland area about us. We're going to be covered up. We really are. That's part of the reason for doing the sign on for the horn in, because I can't just book the rooms like 2 weeks before people get here. So the horn in is on, and frankly, it is a travel and entertainment bargain. One or two people, all lodgings, all food. Some drink, and for the low Kmart price of $1,000, about half of that will go into the actual event. The other half, and by the way, everybody that shows up gets a copy of the book that's in process of production. And there's 50 slots. And I've invited guests. You've heard me invite John Bridavo. I've invited the Malloys. I've invited Dr. Bill. I've invited Bossman Wayne. And depending on how it goes, maybe I can invite a couple of other guests as well that you might love to meet. But we got to get a number of people on board, and we've only got. I'm gonna close this out at like mid September. The end of September, and if by then we don't have enough to do it, at least we will know by then, and that's still a lot of month out. Okay, but like I said, I got some hate mail, and this individual did not have the courage to put their name to it, but I recognize the garbage language, and in fact, it is. Our old buddy Carol in Vegas, the bottom of the deck dealer at a blackjack table of some sort, he's all pissed off. I figured you guys might get a kick out of this because he references y'all. Mostly it's about me, but he references y'all because he hates you too. So I figure if I'm going to be hated, might as well share it and let everybody enjoy Carol's hate. I have to give him credit. He knows the difference between there and there and there and two, two, and two. And he prints in all capital block letters every bit as good as any fourth grade block printing I have ever seen. So I have to give him credit. He's despised me for a long time, partly because I think some of this goes back to 2016. And, you know, this is a Titanic intellect here, so it certainly fits within the parameters of this Titanic Tuesday. And no, Darlene, it wasn't. It wasn't our old buddy Brain. Well, I don't know. Maybe Carol's Brain, too. Who knows? But the bottom line is he tried to be as vulgar and hateful as he possibly could. But I've been at this too long to let this kind of garbage get under my skin. And so it's more in the way of comedy. Like the other night, I was sharing some of the messages I've received over on Instagram, promising to be be my sugar daddy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in all block print. I guess this goes back last week to a call I took. Jim had been sitting on hold for a while, and I just stopped dealing with him after he became extremely vituperative and vulgar and hateful and ugly and nasty, and, you know, don't have to put up with that at all. And so, you know, I just sent him to the cornfield. So that's what I guess sent. I guess that's what sent Carol off to find his letter-writing crayon. Wait, what's this? Before you read Carrot's message, Steve in New York says, give Darlene the much-deserved cowbell. I thought it was our old buddy Brain. Yes. Absolutely. thank you, Dave, number 11. Thank you so much. Yes, and I should add that we do have our first attendee of the Horn-In, by the way. Roger's going to be there, and his beloved, and Tracy will be there, it's going, you know, we just got to get folks, things going, and hopefully by the end of September, and then I can make all the reservations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see here. I'm sure Carol will be thrilled to pieces to know that his red. Well, once again, you hung up on Jim. You are such a chicken shit. What are you so afraid of? That he will tell the truth about you on the air? There's not much about me that people don't know here on the air. I don't know what that truth would be, Carol, but oh well. Oh dear. Sycophant, before you read Carrot's email, yes, I'm a very proud sycophant, Steve notes, and that's psychophant. But we are apparently blipping. I don't see so much of it right now, but apparently there's been a couple of interruptions. Of course, none of... this is where he talks about y'all. And sends his love. Lee in New York says, you just blipped. I blame Carol. Well, why not? Everybody else does. Because nobody likes him. Of course, none of the anus lickers who give you their money will even bring it up. Well, that's not true. I had a couple of people ask why I did that, and I explained to them off air why, and now I'm explaining it on air. You don't get to just be hateful and vile and vulgar and nasty and rude and ugly, and I sit and take it, because I don't operate that way. Dick in a wig? This is, of course, his reference to how I refer to to Daddy's little deferment, Representative Cheney from Wyoming. You'll recall that... part of the reason he never had to go and serve his country in Vietnam because, Darlene is sleuthing. Maybe Carol is Jim. No, Carol's called the program back in the past. He turned on us over the whole business with, you know, helping Trump become president, you know, by voting for Jill fucking Stein or something like that. And then he got mad and threw hissies for a while because he said, you never report on all the black on white crime. Where, why not? He's quite the little Klansman, Carol is. But he does. Apparently, he took umbrage with my reference to Daddy's little deferment, Representative Cheney from Wyoming, referring to her as Dick in a Wig. The fact of the matter is, I've long referred to, because, you know, both of these women look very much like their fathers, Representative Cheney and Senator Moore Capito of West Virginia. She's the daughter of Arch Moore, the single most corrupt individual ever to occupy the governor's mansion in the history of this state. Others may be more corrupt elsewhere, but he owns the record here. Funny, says Steve in New York. I actually had my headphones sitting on my desk and thought I heard Jim on the headphones, but wasn't sure. I guess I was right. Yeah, you were. I just long enough to identify and then click, because, you know, once in the cornfield, always in the cornfield. Dick in a Wig, you are the very last person on earth who should be making fun of anyone else's looks, you grotesque, ugly piece of shit. Well, sadly, Carol does not include a photograph of himself, so I cannot offer you the comparison, but anybody with a soul this ugly, you know, it's like that old saying, beauty may be only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone. When is Agnes going to come on and tell us why she thinks your parents were assholes? Her words, not mine, says Carol. That's easily enough answered. She thinks that she wishes somehow or another that I could have lived my authentic life younger, at an earlier period in my life, and ascribes to them the fact that I lived as a closeted trans woman for as long as I did. So there's that question. There is only, and then finally, we're going to get a biology lesson from Carol. I had no idea he was more than just a blackjack dealer or a croupier, but apparently he's also an expert scientist. There is only one way anyone is female, and that is if they are born with ovaries, a uterus, and fallopian tubes. You are not a woman, just mentally ill. Well, you know, I got to say, for being so mentally ill, I've done a damn fine job of powering through it. You know, 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week for coming up on 18 years. And maintaining my work as an activist and being a father and all the other things that go with it. Yeah, I'm pretty damn good. Especially for mentally ill. And Carol wants all the cis women who don't, who might at this point in time be missing either ovaries or a uterus or fallopian tubes to know that in his opinion, you aren't women. Maybe you're mentally ill too. Because see, that's the problem with binaries, like trying to judge gender by biological sex. It doesn't fucking work. But nonetheless, that's a little bit of correspondence from Carol in Las Vegas, who is too much of a coward to put on a return address so that I could write back. Gosh, I mean, I'd like to at least be able to compare my block printing against his. But, oh well. Que sera, sera. You know, when I get these things, I like to share them because they're funny. And, you know, poor Carol is just sad and miserable and racist and bigoted and transphobic. And what a shitty way to have to go through life, huh? You know, it's like that old saying, more to be pitied than despised. Silent R. Lamar, subject line, ugly. For someone who must sneak up on its dinner to feed should talk about someone's looks. Well, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. It's just a sad and pathetic outlashing because somewhere, you know, all anger stems from pain. And so he must be indeed in a great deal of pain. And like I said, more to be pitied than despised. Enjoy the retirement there, Carol. Darlene in Connecticut says, wow, Carol, he's hitting way below the belt here. I think he is the anus licker. And I think Carol is actually hung up on you, Robin, or closeted in some way, because Agnes said what she said on Trans Talk Raw. He's stalking you across the inner tubes. Well, he ain't the first. Probably won't be the last. And well, that's why one maintains the level of situational awareness that one does when one is like I am. But I knew it would be very important to him to have this read on air, because that's the other thing. Hey, Carol, honey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in every blessed day. Thank you so much. And I'm sure the Horn Family Community Congregation is more than happy to keep this program on the air. So, you know, a deadbeat piece of shit like you can you know, listen for free. We're just happy to have you out there. It's like the old saying that they used to have about Howard Stern. You know, the people who loved Howard Stern listened religiously for 2 hours a day. The people who hated Howard Stern listened for 3. It all goes into the same hopper. And that is, you know, listenership. So, thanks, Carol. Thanks so much. What a pleasure you are, and what a joy you must be for the people whose space you invade. Wait, Black on White Crime, Lee in New York says, who's responsible for the cover-up, Oreo or Hydrox? We went through this a while back. I thought Hydrox were a knockoff of Oreos. I was wrong. Sunshine Bakeries came up with Hydrox long before Nabisco, the national biscuit company, ever came up with Oreos. So, being female, Lee in New York writes, bad science from Carol. There are female plants. They do not meet Carol's conditions. I know what was meant, but it is what Carol wrote that is wrong. Lee, formerly employed at the New York Botanical Garden. You know what, Lee? That's an interesting coincidence. Someone sent me some perfumes developed in conjunction by Caswell and Massey in conjunction with the New York Botanical Garden, and the honeysuckle is spot on. Oh, it smells so pretty. I didn't mean to start a thing with this. Darlene's email, Steve in New York, says, if for any reason Carol might be a member of the LGBTQ community, closeted as he may be, I'm officially blackballing him, realizing you don't have that privilege yet. No matter... I think that was a dirty joke. Oh, dear. Slipped right past me. No matter what, we are just not that much into him. Oh, God, I know. A bunch of sycophants. Psychophants! Well, where did the first half hour of the program go? Let's do some actual radio now that we've gotten past the hate mail. You know, whenever I feel, I'm going to keep that. And, well, Thomas, you're just going to have to get your own. By the way, says Thomas, I want hate mail. Because, of course, we're streaming over at FYINation.com. Keep at it. So, you know, eventually you'll get a Carol all your own. And, oh my God, what's going on out in the house? It's been so cute. The baby has been, I mentioned the idea of making spaghetti the other day, and she's been walking around her saying, I want spaghetti. You make me spaghetti. Spaghetti. It's taken me 3 days to learn to pronounce that. But that's Ferg's in there working on some spaghetti for her. Megan writes, to Carol, the hater, move on, you chump-ass fool. You bore us. There's nothing you can add to any conversation us hornies have because your IQs won't support it. All you do is suck up all the oxygen in the room when the rest of us are actively trying to have serious conversations. Robin has more intelligence and eloquence in her little finger than you do in your entire being. Die mad about it. Please do us all a favor. And, oh my God, I don't ever want Megan mad at me. Die mad about it. Please do us all a favor and fuck off into the sun. Thanks. A dedicated cisgender female listener, Megan. Thank you, Megan. Die mad about it and fuck off into the sun. Oh. Girl, you just leveled up. That's pro level. Fuck off into the sun. Oh, well, thank you. Steve, the psycho fan in New York, said, and I forgot to tell. I fucking love you. Well, I love you back. Jesus, you people. Jeremy, answering the maggots to the moon challenge, says, damn it, Carol, you discovered my ass-licking fee. Oh, well, here's another night's worth, Robin. Me being a sycophant and all, of course. Psychophant. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. You discovered my ass-licking fee. Oh, God. I don't have any way to label anything when I put the podcast up over at whiteRoseSociety.org, but I maybe not safe for work. Probably should have said that at the beginning of the program, haven't we? Yeah. Billable Rick says, is Carol the male version of Karen? Did you get my challenge? No, I'm getting around to it right now. As I understand, says Stephen New York, the little grandbaby at home has two grandmamas, Robin and Agnes. I'm trying to think what's better than two grandmamas. Nope, nothing better. That's just too sweet. That's wonderful. This absolutely had nothing to do with Carol Baker. If Sister Carol Baker sent me a nasty gram, I would be in pieces on the floor. No, this is just garden variety, hate-filled, racist, bigoted, transphobic Carol, the underhanded blackjack dealer in Vegas. Yes, John in PA, Central PA wants to know, is this Carol person a former member of the community? Sort of, kind of, yeah. Used to call the program, and then decided that everybody was a sycophant when I pointed out that, if you didn't actually go out and vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016, you helped Trump become president, and therefore, you're part of the problem. Whoops. Oh, well. As to the ass-licking, oh, God. Stephen New York says, who knew it tasted like schnozberries? Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. I know. And is it just my imagination, or did the Captain Crunch people come out with a cereal that was just the Crunch Berries? God, I love the Crunch Berries. But then I would just go through and eat all the Crunch Berries, and there'd be nothing left but Captain Crunch, which so thoroughly sucks, especially once it's soggy. And it was like, why can't they do that? But I think they finally did. It's kind of like the... the folks at Reese's finally got creative, and they made, the dark chocolate Reese's cups. Oh, my God. And the white chocolate ones aren't bad, but Agnes doesn't like those. But the dark chocolate, and then the peanut butter lovers Reese's cups. Dear God. Unpaid product placement, by the way. What did you start, Robin? Asks Jeremy in Vermont. I tell people all the time this is a nice Christian family-friendly show. I'm not so sure anymore. Neither am I, and I'm not the one who wrote ass-licking either. That was Carol and then you, Jeremy, so, it's kind of on you. I completely disagree because, Stephen New York is a lawyer, and being a lawyer, he's a hair splitter. Carol is not transphobic, homophobic, etc. Carol is human-phobic. Woof. Obligatory Star Trek insult, if I may paraphrase. Lee in New York says, what Mob has said is true. Our customs are different. What Carol has said is unimportant, and we do not hear his words. I just called Carol a liar in Star Trek insult. I know. We come in peace. So can we... I never should have done that. It's completely ruined the tenor of the program. Because I was all set to, I was all set to cover the big hearings, you know, the first January 6th hearing that took place today, it was stirring and more than a little hair-raising in spots. Oh, but one more. Brother Deacon Asa says, "I'm like this," to quote Silent R. Lamar, "if a person as mentally as ill as you can live rent-free inside Carol's noggin for lo these many years, I'm going to have to say you've done pretty good for yourself. Just say it." Well, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. You know, we try here. And by the way, I don't want to violate Brother Deacon Asa's hippo rights, but then again, he's in Canoodlia, so he ain't got no hippo rights because he ain't free like an American is. A certain Brother Deacon got his Moderna and did report back that it has been whooping his Canoodlian ass. So, well, all of our sympathies go out to the Brother Deacon. Hope you get to feeling better. The headache can't. And I went through that too, where I couldn't raise my arm above shoulder level. I had that with the. I had that in the Pfizer shot when I got it in my left arm. Summer of 64 challenge. From Billable Rick. "To commemorate the 64, four over par, that I shot early this morning, which included dense fog for five consecutive holes," I just aimed straight into the fog bank on my tee shots and even got a birdie on one of the fog holes, "I'd like to make the Summer of 64 challenge. I'll pledge $32 for the 32s that I shot on both the front and the back nines this morning, to be doubled to a total of 64 once someone has met the $32 challenge. Oh, I picked up a 20-degree Callaway hybrid at an estate sale this past weekend for $250. The first time I used that club today, I hit it high and straight down the fairway, 230 yards. How? 230 yards? Holy mackerel. 20-degree Callaway hybrid, what? 20-degree hybrid Callaway howitzer? 230 yards straight. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Maybe someday I'll... Or maybe, you know, you come out to the Horn Inn, Billable, and I'll whip your ass from the ladies' tees. Mm-hmm. Yes, says Flavio, there was a hearing, all right. If those were tourists, I can understand why they hate American tourists. Wow, yeah. Dear Carol, writes Dave number 11, Robin just revealed a preference for dark chocolate, which proves gender female. If you're going to be wrong, be a steaming pile of wrong, Carol. Well, I didn't know that, but it's true. It sort of explains a lot of things over the years. It really, really does. Lee says, give the community, the whole community, a cowbell. Carol lobbed one tennis ball of an insult at Robin, and the community's been pelting Carol in return. yeah, you get one. Absolutely. Jack in Shreveport. You're not going to let me do a regular program tonight, are you? This is just going to go on. I enjoyed your presentation. Confused, signed, Confused in the South. Dear Confused. No, Jack says, I enjoyed your presentation of the hate mail from Carol. It reminded me of Malloy's mailbag when he would read some hate mail as a bonus for listeners. But I'm confused as to whether blackballing would be classified by Carol as black-on-white underreported crime or black-on-black underreported crime, or would it be overreported since you mentioned it on air, because that takes it out of the you-never-mentioned-it-on-your-show category. Puzzled, signed Jack. Dear Confused in the South. So am I. But then again, that's always been a problem. At least, Brother Deacon Asa says, Carol could have classed it up and called us salad tossers, or tater peelers, as they call it up in Idaho way, instead of the generic ass lickers. Well, you're asking a lot from somebody who prints like a fourth grader, so. Wait a minute. I mean, he didn't sign it. This is just the kind of shit I get from Trump. Maybe it's from Trump.
Well, once again.
See? Wait a minute. Let's see here.
Of course, none of the anus lickers.
And that was anus lickers, by the way.
Of course, none of the anus lickers who give you their money will even bring it up.
He's just so far out in front of us all. The speed of stupid, Silent R. Lamar says, since I feel like George of the Jungle, the trees are beginning to look like picket fences. Oh, yeah. And by the way, we now know why you feel like crap. Randy Radar has the answer, Brother Deacon Asa. Your shot was probably tainted with Molson. That's good. You guys are on a roll this evening. So we've got a Summer of 64 challenge, courtesy of Billable Rick, and that would be fantastic if it is met, because that would put us up to 90. A third of yesterday's fundraising would be taken care of, especially in conjunction with the challenge that Jeremy in Vermont has met. Thank you, Jeremy and Joey and Giraffe. And little Giraffe is just so damn cute. But do we refer to him? Is he going to be Giraffe Jr. or Giraffe the Second, with Roman numerals and everything? Oh, a little bit of trivia before we actually get into the real, honest to God, no kidding program. Steve in New York tells us cool things about the New York Botanical Garden. One, it's in the Bronx. Two, it has the only virgin forest in New York City, 3 acres worth, as I recall. I'm going to leave that one alone. And Robin, when your ass comes to New York City and the rest of you, and I can show you around, we're going there. It's gorgeous. It's near the Bronx Zoo as well. Truth be told, however, it can't hold a candle to the Cincinnati Zoo. Of course, nothing other than the San Diego Zoo can. Pretty fond of the National Zoo in D.C. Damn, I'm beginning to choke because I'm such a sycophant. On a serious note, I hate and resent your shit. I think you and I, as a monarchist, have plenty of non-sycophantish interactions. What actual conversational program would allow an actual monarchist to continue to comment and show this level of love? Oh, and fuck you, Carol! Man, take it. I'm beginning to feel sorry for the poor little misanthrope. Goodness gracious. Y'all are rough. But, nonetheless, there is a program to do here. And it was a hell of a day. We can note the fact that it is now being reported that because he cannot resist any mention of him, even though it's negative mentions, Nitwit Nero was apparently glued to the television today. CNN reporter Jamie Gangle, doing her stand-up, said he was pissed off that not even his anus-licking sycophant Jim Shorts Jordan. Oh, that's going to make it into the program all day long now, isn't it? Was there to defend him at the hearing today. She said, Donald Trump is not happy. What happened today is what he didn't want to happen. He did not want any committee, and to your point, he didn't have Jim Jordan or any other allies there fighting back or pushing back. It was also devastating because four policemen in uniform, four heroes, sat there and in devastating, excruciating detail talked about how Donald Trump supporters were racist, were violent, were trying to stop democracy. This was a bad day for Donald Trump. Oh, good. I hope it didn't hurt too little. And there was devastating testimony. And in a desperate attempt, and I'd thought it was going to be, because I saw the story about how Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Green and Gates and who was the that there were a bunch of the MAGA insurrection caucus, and it looked like 4G. Wonder what the hell that was. All kinds of interesting noises around here this evening. No, they got together to try to distract from what was happening actually in the halls of Congress, and since they weren't welcome on the committee because they're a bunch of insurrection-supporting traitorous, treasonous maggots. They had a. They tried to have an outdoor press conference. Rule one: when you're trying to support an act of treason, don't do it outside where people can fuck with you. Because they couldn't get a word in edgewise. Paul Gosar, Gates, Green, Gohmert, 4G. Well, at least it's not that Bill Gates 5G that picks up the liquid barcodes inside your COVID vaccine. Oh, by the way, interesting piece of information about the vaccine and about the COVID itself, more about the COVID than the vaccine, has come out. One of the things, and you hear, I've heard it primarily as coming from younger people, and Darlene has referenced it in her conversations, is this notion that people have gotten, and it is entirely a matter of complete and unmitigated falsehood, bilious horseshit, frankly, particularly young women, you know, who have those aforementioned ovaries and fallopian tubes and uteruses, that they are afraid that the, because someone has told them, who is not a doctor, that the vaccine could render them unable to conceive children. Sterile. Well, it turns out that no, and nobody ever really thought it did, but no, the vaccine will not make you sterile. On the other hand, however, COVID-19 can. Now, not, mind you, not women, but according to recent research, scientists have discovered that for men of all ages, male children, and we're talking about biology, not gender identity, male children, male adolescents, male young adults, male middle-aged adults, and old males are all at risk of being rendered sterile by the Rona. Because we're still learning a whole bunch of the stuff that the Rona does. So in the reproductive urology program at the University of Miami's Miller School of Medicine, where the study was published, and the director is Ranjith Ramasamy. Well, they found out that it can make you unable to provide the necessary the necessary gametes to fertilize an ovum. Mm-hmm. Six patients, according to investigators who looked into it, six patients from the 2006 SARS-CoV-1 virus discovered that all six were had suffered widespread cell destruction and had few to zero sperm. And apparently the mumps virus and the Zika virus can also enter the testicles, causing inflammation. And about 20% of men who get that wind up with impaired sperm counts. On the other hand, there was good news out of this University of Miami study, and that was that the COVID and Moderna mRNA vaccines are absolutely safe for the male reproductive system. So, no, getting the vaccine will not cause women to become infertile, and it will not do that to men either. But some people, you know, one of the symptoms of long-haul COVID is lingering testicular pain. And that's a hell of a pain. It's, yeah. And that is probably a result of damage to the ability of the testicles to do what testicles do. And so Dr. Ramasamy said, I believe the research presents an urgent public health message to the U.S. regarding the COVID-19 vaccines. For the millions of American men who remain unvaccinated, you may want to again consider the consequences if and when this highly aggressive virus finds you. And notes that one reason for vaccine hesitancy is the perception among many that COVID-19 shots might affect male fertility. Our research shows the opposite. There's no evidence the vaccine harms a man's reproductive system, but ignoring the vaccine and contracting COVID-19 very well could. And so that people don't just come up with that. Well, you know, I kind of want, no, this is all ginned up. This is all generated. It's all entirely a creation of an industry that exists to capitalize on people's ignorance and fears and biases. Oh, but speaking of ignorance and going all the way to stupidity, hey, look, it's Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber again. Let's go back to their stupid little attempt at a press conference. Like I said before, don't ever, ever, ever try to hold a press conference outside if you're going to, you know, be spewing a bunch of anti-American, anti-science garbage. Because you know what took this down? There were no threats. This thing was a complete failure because of a dude with a whistle. No, really, a whistle. Whenever I feel afraid, I whistle a happy tune. Just, you know, like a referee has in football. Just a whistle. Give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. Never, no singing. We got a big, bad fundraising deficit this evening. And hopefully Billable Rick's Summer of 64 challenge will be met sooner rather than later. But let's cut away now to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. Thank you to Sparky for sending this along. What a great moment in derp this was today as they tried to as they tried to distract from the damning and horrifying testimony at the hearing.
The people of this country, the answers to the questions.
We need a break. The left is interrupting the press conference. We need to end it.
Thank you. For those of you that really care about this process, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just saw here today is, again, the intolerant left. I'll give those back now. So the whistle.
The people of this country.
That is the most patriotic whistle that has ever existed in the history of the United States of America. It's and the intolerant left. Oh, shut up. They were there to talk about the fact they were demanding a meeting with Merrick Garland to find out about those poor innocent. No, they referred to them as political prisoners, really. The people who attacked the Capitol of the United States, Gohmert, and Green, and Gosar, and Gates, and I think there were a couple of others. Now consider the people who attacked the Capitol of the United States and constitutional governance itself to be political prisoner. And there's other whistle audio out there. Let's enjoy it.
There's back now, so the whistle
for the people of this country. The answers to the questions.
We need a break. The left is interrupting the press conference. We need to end it.
Thank you for those.
Yeah, we need a break. They're interrupting the press conference. Mm-hmm. Give a little whistle, too, and always let your conscience be your guide. Yep. Whoa, there, says Chris in Portland. Marjorie, whistling? I can hear Snow White now. Whistle while you white rage. That's perilously close to making me sing, Chris. Watch it. Oh, the high-pitched whistling, says Darlene in Connecticut, and shouting during the crazed GOP radicals presser in front of justice today was mint. And poor little Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball couldn't handle the same disruptive behavior she throws at everyone else, think AOC, thrown right back at her. She could not handle it. That little Trump anus-licking snowflake. The password is anus-licking. Oh, thank you, Carol. You gave us a new thing. That's just... Yeah. I wonder who was girl there from Newsmuck or Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Well, C-SPAN showed up to cover it live. And the protesters had run them off by about 16 minutes. They just gave up. People walking behind Matt Gaetz. He couldn't get away from them. With a poster that read, Rapist, Sit Down. Yeah. January 6th was an inside job. And that, yeah. Because it was. And so now, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball is having a bit of a hissy. Yeah. It's, well... She went on that program hosted by the man who looks like hot dogs smell, Steve Bannon, and unlimbered herself of her concerns. Yeah, she's trying to use her nitwit Nero translation phrase book. You might want to get the hockey puck for this. The intolerant left, Megan says, yes, Newsmax bimbo, we on the left tend not to tolerate ignorance, bigotry, and disinformation. The person blowing the whistle is doing so because what Gaetz and three names are spreading is dangerous. It's called whistleblowing for a reason. Precisely. And you know, where was Jim Shorts Jordan? Where was Mo Brooks, Les Brames? Oh, I'm sorry, he's busy being sued. And I think I saw a font underneath the phony baloney wannabe journalist that said RSBN. I don't know. RBSN. Or maybe RABN. Real, because... What that show hosted by the guy who looks like hot dog smell, Steve Bannon, is the real America's voice. You know, if you're the real America, you know, not that phony baloney liberal panty waisted commie pinko, Rosicrucian Illuminati, Bohemian Grove America. Yeah, and you know what else we don't tolerate? Megan. We also don't tolerate fascists. There's a bit of a paradox in all of that. I forget whose paradox it's got a name, but the only way to have a tolerant society is not to tolerate the intolerant. The only way to have a tolerant society is not to tolerate fucking fascists. Whenever you see a fascist, you grind them into the dirt. You silence them because they have absolutely nothing of value to offer civil society, because they are essentially incivil. Yeah, Gohmert was there. Oh, yes, indeed, Darlene. He so was. So I don't know if this is before or after Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball went out and got whistled, got whistled to a stop. But like I said, she's upset.
I don't want that.
Reagan used to say, we're one generation away from losing our freedom, and nobody paid attention to it because it sounded so awful. How close, in your mind, are we to losing this republic that was bequeathed us?
We're losing it right now. We're losing it right now because the American people have been complacent. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten that...
Jesus, what a whiner.
You have all the power with votes. You have all the power with your donations. You have all the power at home, and your local government is extremely important. You have the power over who's on your school board. You have the power over your city council, your county. You have the power to organize everyone together to stop anything bad happening. But pretty soon, you're not going to have the power anymore. And that's why I am unapologetic in the way that I attack everything here in Washington, D.C., because I know we're almost losing it. We're almost losing it. You know what's going to happen? It's starting right now. I see it on the TV behind Steve.
Oh, yeah, she's almost losing it, all right. And by the time we get to the end of this clip, she will have actually lost it.
The January 6th committee has started, and this is Nancy Pelosi's witch hunt. This is her final vendetta against the president that she hates with a passion. This woman is blind with rage and evil, and she's launching this political attack on all of us. I know for certain I'm one of her main targets. We know for a fact who she's after.
Oh, honey, you're not worth a bucket of Nancy Pelosi's warm spit. And you're not one of her main targets. You think way too highly of yourself, sweetie.
And we're losing the power. The power.
God, you remind me of a man. What man? The man with the power. What power? The power of hoodoo. Hoodoo? You do. What? Remind me of a man. What man? The man with the power. What power? The power of hoodoo. Hoodoo? You do. What? Remind me of a man. Jesus God. And what is it, Nancy Pelosi? You notice Pelosi, she's trying to create an association with the word lousy. That's like Democrat Party, so you can emphasize the word rat. It's been going on forever. It's not clever. RSBN. Megan, in case you're wondering, the bimbo you referred to is with Right Side Broadcasting Network, signed your senior researcher, Lee, in New York City. Thank you, Lee, senior researcher, member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee and Department. I mean, they're going to take away our power, and when they take away our power, we're going to get bridges built. They're going to take away our power, and when they take away our power, people will get fed. Maybe have a living wage, be able to vote. I mean, maybe there's an element of truth somewhere in all of this madness. And maybe it is that they kind of are taking away the power. Because, you see, if everybody in this country who is eligible to vote gets to vote, if Republicans can't suppress those people... voting, then Republicans will lose power. Because the only way Republicans maintain power is, and I mean, this has been a thing for a very long time, is if, in fact, we all know it is a truism of American politics that low voter turnout benefits Republicans. High turnout benefits Democrats. Ergo, the more people vote, the less Republicans have power. Frankly, if it weren't for gerrymandering and voter suppression, there probably wouldn't be any Republicans in the House of Representatives. And if it were not for voter suppression, there probably wouldn't be any in the Senate. The last two, I mean, this is valuable to actually get intellectually. The last two Republican presidents we have had were not elected by the popular will of the people of the United States. We have had 12 years of Republican presidency here as we are early in the third decade of the 21st century. We've had 12 years of Republican presidencies, not one single fucking day of which was supported by
the popular majority of America. And it's reflected in the fact that George W. Bush could never get his approval ratings, you know, sucked. Nitwit Nero never got, did he ever get above 40? He never got above 50% approval rating. So maybe she's unintentionally telling the truth, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. And God Almighty, what a day devoutly to be dreamt. A day with no Republicans. Think of what we could accomplish. The roads, the bridges, the decent wages, the health care. Yeah. Bannon and Marjorie Spa. Chris in Portland. Oh, God, are they going to start a chain of spa fitness centers together? Just imagine, after sculpting your guns to that fine Marjorie Trader Gangrene cue ball flabbiness, you could jump into the hot dog water tub. So soothing. Then you can scratch and sniff yourself and always be at the ballpark. Then when you leave, choose your own VD. Gonorrhea, anyone? How about some clap today, says Chris in Portland. Oh, dear God. It's today on Bingo Wings with Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. RSBN, no, says Megan. More like right stupid bimbo broadcasting cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Now, right. That's quality. Mm-hmm. And the hot dog water, the hot dog tub, hot dog water tub. Yeah. You've forgotten to take your bath salts, the American people, says Arthur. You've forgotten to take your brown acid. You've forgotten to go out into the street, demanding the blood of the firstborn son of every neighbor to appease the mighty God's righteous, bloodlusty wrath. Oh, I know. I know. Well, we're not quite done with Carol, apparently. We'll get back to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball in a moment. Shorty in L.A. says, hey, Carol, whatever. Glad she read slow enough in box-lettered trash-dition tradition. Funny thing about anatomy, Carol, that's a gnat to me because you're a fucking gnat to me. The human reproductive system is a dual system. The only reason you don't have fallopian tubes is because yours turned into deferens and your ovaries dropped down, and then later during your puberty, they became your scrotum. Oh, hell no, I don't give you balls, just scrotum. You got scrotum until you grow some. Also, your vaginal cavity changed. It was changed to be formed into a urine extractor. That's what you call your penis or whatever you call it, Carol, and we don't want to know, do we? No, we don't, Shorty. So don't get it twisted. The other reason you're not a woman is by random chance called sperms and eggs. You see, a lot of men and women go through puberty yet have different things below the belt. You probably do have something different below the belt. That's why you're jealous and a cranky doolittle. Nothing against hermaphrodites. Please forgive me for my next words. Meant for Carol, who hate-treaded on my little sister Robin. Now, Carol, if you were blessed with two reproductive systems, go fuck yourself and don't let it be your last time. Oh, my God! Spend time doing something else, like learning cursive writing. They don't teach it much in schools anymore. Now I know your trigger spot. And I want you to know, just in case anybody wonders, I did not mess around with the words there. No, I read every word as it was written. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. Ooh, isn't that pretty?
Talk about a cowboy plate.
Yes, indeed.
And since it's on the baking tray, Everything stayed warm to the point even that butter melted like a moat.
Ferg making dinner for his beloved. And
coming up on our 1 year.
Yeah, you are. That's awesome.
And so I made us 22-ounce steaks.
But did our little doll get her biscuit? Her
spaghetti? Scabadetti.
Yeah. See, I still can't say it right.
Turns out she hates anything but the noodle.
I had a feeling it was going to be. She just wanted the noodles.
You know, she told me she wanted meat sauce. She wanted cheese. She wanted Parmesan. She wanted the noodles. She wanted steak. She's had steak, too. So,
I understand. Rough day, son. I'm glad you can shake it off. And
I haven't shaken it off.
I know, but you're trying.
I love you.
He's working a hard job. Did a good job. I think Agnes and I both did a very good job teaching him to cook. He'd be great in the kitchen, but who wants to do that? This is the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend, says Randy Radar. Somebody started doing it, not knowing what it was, and they just kept doing it forever just because. This is the song that never ends. Oh, I know. I was saving, Ralphs, I'm saving that for Wednesday. Damn, says Steve in New York. The acerbicness is flowing tonight. It is, isn't it? The acerbic is strong with us this evening, Horn Family Community Congregation. Shorty just heard Ferg's voice and said, Ferg inherited your radio voice. Yep, yep. He did. That's part of why I'm trying to do some speech therapy to change. And I'm not, it hasn't started yet, so that's why I'm, but, you know, trying not to, got to put a little distance between his voice and mine. God, he was back here. I had to run errands last night. I often run errands after the program's over. And I had to run errands last night, and when I came in, he was sitting here watching karaoke videos. And you know that Chris Isaak song? It's real old now, but oh my God! For the '90s generation, it's you know, Wicked Game. Perfect. And hey, you know, maybe Ferg will play and sing a little bit if we pull the horn in together. That could be a lot of fun. He can do. He can do Johnny Cash, just about any Johnny Cash song, to something approaching perfection. And he's not too shabby on, what's his name? Who did Mark Cohen? Was it Mark Cohen? Who did Walking in Memphis? Yeah, and his take on Jim Reeves' "He'll Have to Go" will make you cry. Mm-hmm. Healthcare, Ron and Raleigh asked. Remember Joe Biden said he'd veto Medicare for All if it came across his desk? I think other Dems like Sinema and Manchin would show their contrary asses. Well, but if we got rid of a whole bunch of Republicans, they couldn't show their contrary asses. And you know what? I know he said that, but he was saying that before COVID really got its hooks into us. And now maybe, well, the man has shown, I think, take whatever criticism one levies at him, he has shown that he is more than willing to change. And, you know, it's another example of what I've been talking about for rather a long time now, that in terms of the presidency, the office changes the occupant. Seldom does the occupant change the office. And the only way the office does not change the occupant is if the occupant is so terminally malevolent that it just can't happen. I had no idea. Steve just let me know. Steve from Georgistan, Brother Bishop Steve. The hell's going on? You get hate mail and then I have to boot a troll. Man, I haven't used the lightsaber in years. It was so far in the weeds, Cletus had to find it for me. Well, that may be one of the few places, you know, maybe somebody found a path from the cornfield to the chat room. Zap 'em! Zap 'em, Steve! Zap 'em! Get 'em! Chris Isaak, Billable Rick, says, I saw him in concert 2 years ago and he's still alive. Well, thank you for not bumping off Chris Isaak yet. Still can't get you to go to a Kid Rock or a Ted Nugent concert. I mean, I understand it would be awful to do that to your own eardrums, but you know, sometimes you got to take one for the team. So now that entertainment is opening back up, sorta. I mean, I don't know what the Delta variant is going to do in California, relative to things like entertainment, you know, concert venues and the like. But please, Billable, if Kid Rock or Ted Nugent come out there, get a ticket and just let your powers flow freely. Please, please. But anyway, back to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. Where were we? Oh, yeah, everybody was going to lose the power, and Nancy Pelosi, yeah.
After.
Because these are going to be insurrectionists, they're going to be terrorists, domestic terrorists, they're going to be white nationalists, white Christian dominationists, dominionists, all that.
Well, only because they were, hot dog man, only because they were white nationalists, Christian dominionists, insurrectionists, treasonous pricks, and, of course, domestic terrorists. Only because they were, Steve. What they're trying to do is inoculate the maggots in advance. And then, isn't that funny? They won't take an inoculation, but they're trying to inoculate the maggots against what's going to come out. Because the word domestic terrorist was used today in the hearing. And it was used accurately and in proper context. Well, thank you, Les. Les said, I love hate mail day. That's hate, M-A-L-E. This is almost as fun as when Brain wrote in for his free lobotomy. Maybe we don't have enough of them. I don't know. But thank you, Les. Maybe Carol will write another one because, well, he can't reach the program any other way. He's in the cornfield, too. Maybe he'll write another note and use salad tossers and make you a little bit happier. I mean, you need your day brightened. I understand you're not feeling real great because you know you got the dolly shot. But you'll feel better soon, and you'll get your second one, and then you'll have full immunity, and awesome, and that'll just be awesome. That will be an inside joke just between you and me, Silent R, and I completely understand. Well, that's true. Trump did change the Oval Office, the office of the presidency. Lee in New York points out, the former president, the former guy, changed the Oval Office. They still haven't gotten rid of the smell of hamburgers yet. Oh, those Halcon days when we awaited his poorly spelled tweets and his references to hamburgers and covfefe. This is just water. It's not covfefe. But anyway, back to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball and the guy who smells like looks like hot dog smell.
They've already said it. The January 6th detainees in jail are speed bump. They want members of Congress in jail.
Wait, the detainees? Like we used to refer to people at Guantanamo? That kind of detainees? Yeah, because they're calling it they're calling them political prisoners. Arnold said, "Oh my God, I joined late. What was all the whistling doing? That person needs to be taught manners." The whistling, that was a patriotic whistle, Arnold. He was disrupting the treason caucus. And their attempt to whitewash, and I do mean white, the treasonous insurrectionists from January 6th. Anyway, they want members, did you hear that? They want members of Congress in jail. I realize she's not the brightest fork in the chandelier, but does Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball think that the criminal laws of the United States of America don't apply to her? Because if that's true, she's going to be very interesting on down the road, because that means she'll probably get in some campaign finance trouble and maybe go to prison. You got to admit it would be fun to watch. because, well, if it turns out that members of Congress actually did, in fact, no kidding, really, really, and for truly, participate in aiding and abetting the attack on the Capitol, well, that would seem to be, and I'm just spitballing here, a criminal conspiracy cognizable by the United States Code. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. No, pretty sure I'm right. Yeah. Let's see here. And let's not get too far afield. Let's let her finish with her babble. It's some pretty high quality stupid.
What do you mean by that?
Guess who that is.
What do you mean by that?
They're just using them as intimidation. They see them as a speed bump. They see them as the small fish. See, Nancy Pelosi is so warped in her thinking, she wants to put President Trump in jail. She wants to put Kevin McCarthy in jail. She'd like to put me in jail, Jim Jordan, Mo Brooks, Lauren Boebert. She'd like to put us in jail.
It's kind of interesting how she lists all the people who are supporters of the insurrection and therefore might very well have criminal liability. I mean, what a little coinkydink. Megan says, you forgot the covfefe sauce. P.S., they want members of Congress in jail? Well, by gum, Three Names is on to something. Little Miss Three Names. Wait a minute. Little Miss Three Names is on to something, because I do want members of Congress in jail, starting with Little Miss Three Names and moving on into Cruz and Hawley and Jim Shorts and Gates and Boebert. It's almost the same list, Megan.
And that's why this intimidation going on, where I met someone in California, I could not believe it, talked to a woman who the FBI raided their home. They dragged her out of her house, handcuffed, in her nightclothes, didn't let her get dressed, and the press was magically out there in the middle of the night. I mean, how did they know that was going on? But yet...
Scanners? Little Miss Three Names? Scanners? Maybe? Maybe journalism organizations do that? You're right, Les. It sounds like a confession from a conservative. There we go. Jesus God. What a piece of work Little Miss Three Names is. They took her out in handcuffs. Well, lady, when the FBI arrests somebody, they generally do. It's called protocol. I mean, they took her out in her night clothes. Well, she's not going to need a cocktail gown in the sneezer, honey. Somebody dropped her on her head at birth or something. Put them in jail, Matt in San Francisco says. That would probably be ruled cruel and unusual punishment. For the regular prisoners that are already there, that is.
Ooh.
You guys are great. I'm okay with recommending Alcatraz. Put them all there. I may be a squooey wabbit, but at least I'm not going to Alcatraz. Never mind. Bugs Bunny moment. And somehow, that makes more sense than Little Miss Three Names.
They took pictures of her and they put her on the front page paper. She was not even in Washington, D.C. She was in California on January 6th. But this is the type of intimidation that has been going on. And that's why I've started this January 6th committee.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Let me guess. She started a January 6th committee, and you can support the committee's work by going to MarjorieTraderGangreneCueBall.com. And giving till it hurts, right? I mean, it's got to be.
We got to. You got to counter this narrative, right? Because they've got the Quislings like Kinzinger and Cheney that are part of this. Oh, so they're going to sit there and just
Pelosi
go vibrate.
Republicans. They're like puppets. Pelosi.
I think they're. I think
puppets.
Cheney's an actual Democrat. That's what she's going to run for. That's all the Democrats are going to support.
She's a Democrat. Dick in a wig is a Democrat. I did issue the hockey puck warning, didn't you? Because she's a Democrat. You know, the small government conservative, daddy's little deferment, is a Democrat. That's why she voted with Nitwit Nero 93% of the time. Because she's a Democrat. Jesus, can you just for a moment, like some Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom segment, can you just try to imagine what the people who tune in for anything other than comedic or ironic value to that program are like in the wild? Marveline, I knowed it all along. I knowed it. I knowed it when W picked her daddy to be his vice president and actually do all the presidenting for him. I knowed it. He was a Democrat. We was run by Democrats for 8 years. Masquerading as Republicans. Oh, Emery, you're so right. Thank God we survived. Holy mackerel.
I mean, that's how she
oh, that's all who's donating to them is Democrats. You
Democrats,
better bet. 100%. They're raising money from a bunch of Democrats, rewarding them.
We got a couple of minutes here in this segment. Walk us through. You're saying I'm going to do a commission. Is this with McCarthy? Have you talked to McCarthy about this?
No, I had asked to be on the January 6th committee. He appointed five other Republicans. All of you saw the story. Nancy Pelosi kicked off Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, which was insanity. There was no reason for that. She just showed her cards. We all know what she's all about simply by her act.
Right. She had the veto power built into her select committee because the Republicans didn't want to play, so they get to play by her rules. And she didn't want anybody on there who were going to be barking and grunting and hooting. And, you know, screaming about the greatness of the God Emperor Trump and how it was just a bunch of tourists out there breaking glass and killing people and bear spraying folks and erecting a gallows to hang the Vice President of the United States. What gallows? Right. Oh, my God, this shit's hilarious, Megan says. Pelosi Republicans? What mojo does Nancy have to make these morons squirm and spit, and where can I buy it? Well, you know, Megan is she does it just by breathing, just by being alive. And just let's remember they were hunting her, too. And by hunting, I mean it in the truest sense of the word. They were hunting members of Congress because they had been told to by Nitwit Nero. They were hunting, as in they were the predators. And people like Nancy Pelosi and even Mike Pencilneck Geek were the prey. And these Republicans are such shitbirds that they don't even have the starch to defend themselves. Instead, they're trying to align themselves with the killers so that maybe they can make sure that they're covered when they do it again. Because And maybe this is, you know, like some of the other catchphrases we've had on this program, like, they want it all was another. Y'all, they're gonna do it again. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh says, while listening to Marjorie Little Miss Three Names, I came to the conclusion that she will be reelected in a landslide in her district. It gives me the fantods to think that more people like her will be elected. Stupidity will reign supreme. We're so screwed, Robin. Well, I think there is some substantial screwedness. And it's worrisome. And the places that elect the Marjorie Traitor gangrene cue balls are going to get crazier. Because I don't care what Daddy's Little Deferment thinks, or frankly what Adam Kinzinger thinks. Their party, you know, this isn't one of those, you know, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me. No, the Republican Party has left the Dick and the Wigs and the Adam Kinzingers of the world. I mean, for God's sakes, George P. Bush, nephew of W., one of the ones referred to by Babs Bush at the 1988 Republican National Convention as the Little Brown Ones, he had to kiss Nitwit Nero's ass in the race he was running in Texas. God almighty. So, you know, there's going... this is not going to get better. The Republican Party is not going to rehabilitate. And this is not a process that began on January 6, 2021, or on January 20, 2017. We keep talking about it and talking about it. It's worth returning to. This is something that started years ago, the transformation of the Republican Party. I mean, we can point with specificity to the rise of the teabaggers, and it's right in line with that political theory that I've espoused for years now, that when one party goes away, the void that is filled by its nearest ideological kin, and by definition becomes more extreme. I don't know if that political law obtains in other countries, but it does here. The Republican Party, that is sometimes praised as having been worth something, I don't know why anyone would say that, but there are people who do. The Republican Party of, say, Dwight D. Eisenhower or Nelson Rockefeller or Gerald Ford, perhaps even of old 666 himself, Ronnie Reagan, is dead. Dead, 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 dead. Not coming back. Ain't gonna be no Lazarus come forth moment for that Republican Party. She's it. Little Miss Three Names is it. Jim Shorts Jordan is it. And by the time they're done, a couple more election cycles, Jim Shorts Jordan will be a moderate. And, yeah, Ron, you're right. She's going to be reelected for just about as long as she wants to be, because she is a perfect reflection of the idiocy and the bigotry of her district. Precisely. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Silent R. Oh, boy. My ship is taking on stupid. I'm going down with my ship, says Silent R. Lamar. Robin, I see you came with your seven cannons loaded with stupid. Miss Three Names is hard to hit with stupid when she's covered with it. Man, I must remove my hair plugs so I can release the smoke they're plumping up my ass. I know. Oh, I so know. Mike in Cascadia with another clip from the insurrection presser earlier today. Let's check this. Louis Asparagus Gohmert at the podium. Traitors and rapists sit down on posters back behind them. January 6th was an inside job, vets for democracy. Let's see here.
Yeah. Somebody take them away.
The media, you saw what happened here. The left shut us down. They hate free speech. They hate free speech.
Are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile? Are you a pedophile?
God damn, they're right. Oh, my lands. They're on the run. I tell you what, I wish I could move as fast in heels as that one woman walking next to Matt at Gates Better does. I'm not there yet. I mean, there's cracks in the sidewalk. And I'd be on my face in a second. And I've got further to fall. But, yeah, Matt Gaetz trying to get away. And that one into, Mr. Gaetz, are you a pedophile? Are you a pet? I take that to be a rhetorical question. Because it's, It certainly seems, based on the allegations that have been made public, that, well, he did pay an underage woman to have sex with her. Ew. Yeah. Honestly, it sounds like, that Megan says, it sounds like Little Miss Three Names is confessing to her actual fears rather than a standard fist pump rally speech, which means this whole commission is making certain people squirm. Get your popcorn, 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 get your popcorn here. Fresh and hot popcorn.
Actions there. So I've written a letter asking a lot of questions about what is happening in the jail, what's happening with investigations. I've asked a lot of questions. I've gotten no response back. So did Paul Gosar. So did Louis Gohmert. So myself with Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Louis Gohmert, and now Andy Biggs has joined us. We are heading over to the Department of Justice today at 1 o'clock to talk to Christopher Wray because we have questions about what is going on. You see...
Do you have a meeting, or are you just going to go knock on the door and say, is Christopher Wray here?
We've let them know we're coming. We should have a meeting. We are members of Congress. We should be able to ask questions, and we should be able to get answers. This is
so that the answer, then, is no... We don't have a meeting with the FBI director because we really don't know how to set one of those up. We just walk around saying insane shit and get votes for that. So, no, they're not. But we're gonna go over there. Right. Oh, God. At least there's some entertainment value here, right? Yeah. Stephen New York says, subject line, Ernst Röhm. I'm thinking Jim Shorts needs to bone up on what happened to Ernst Röhm's essay. You know, I would not suggest, if I were you, Steve, I would not suggest that Jim Shorts bone up on anything, considering his proclivities there at The Ohio State University. I'm sorry, The Ohio State University. That was probably the goddess of irony just tweaking you on your little pink tomato nose. Thanks for that clip, Mike and Cascadia. That was a beautiful thing.
When the truth is told, why is this complicated?
Well, it's not. See, you commit treason, little three names, and there are... charge, you know, when you're told not to be somewhere and you go somewhere and you're there and you get caught there, you get charged with the crime of being somewhere you're not supposed to be. And you know, it goes without saying that most of these whiny ass little babies who are getting arrested aren't actually dealing with much in the way of consequences. Where's the great Nile of crocodile tears? From Little Miss Three Names here, for that poor, poor woman who was handed 40 whole hours of community service for attacking the government of the United States, we the people, on January the 6th. Where are they? Where? Any mention of the horrors that the QAnon shaman has had to endure while incarcerated and eating food of which he wasn't particularly fond. Oh, the humanity!
This is why the over 14,000 hours of video should be out. This is why we should know who killed Ashley Babbitt. And importantly, this is why we should know why Nancy Pelosi turned down the National Guard to be at the Capitol on January 6th, because the intel was out that there was going to be violence.
Okay.
Well, maybe you knew, Little Miss Three Names. Maybe you knew. Maybe you should have told Nancy Pelosi, because you were on the inside. You were part of it. And, you know, this all comes from the general school of thought that the best defense is a good offense. So she's trying to be out there and in your face as a way of sort of hiding in plain sight, you know, the purloined letter, Poe, hiding in plain sight the fact that she, too, is one of the insurrectionists. She would have gladly pulled the lever to the trap under the feet of Mike Pence if she thought it would do her some good with her God Emperor Trump. And that's not hyperbole. That is the chilling reality of what January 6th could have become and what people like her wanted it to become. She wants answers, says Lamar the Magnificent. Miss Three Names wants answers. Just wait. When they come for you, you'll have all the answers to all your questions. And you probably won't want them anymore. From Shorty in L.A., Candyman to the Third Power put Marjorie in the slammer. Anabolic steroids are illegal, aren't they? Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball is on steroids. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Hate to say this, but look at her face. Steroids stick to it. Don't look at her face too long. The only thing that'll get you away from what happens to you after looking too long is saying, Candyman, Candyman, Candyman. I know Candyman to the Third Power is a bad thing, but it's the only way out after eyeball-to-eyeball Marjorie steroids. Candyman to the Third Power versus three named politicians. Candyman wins! I confess, says Stephen New York. Ashley Babbitt, I confess. I pulled the trigger. You do not. You weren't even that. Stop that. Yeah. Could we do a rewrite of Bob Dylan's Who Killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? It might work. It might. By the way, we are on the way to the third hour of the program. The Phil Robster has been an hour and 43 minutes long so far. We got a challenge on the table, the Summer of 64 challenge, courtesy of Billable Rick, and that would knock us down to a little under $500 to go to fill in our fundraising hole, and we're downhill to the end of the month, and we're fretting. I'm fretting. Because at the end of the month, you know, my health insurance, and that just makes my liver quiver. So if that challenge could be met, that would be fantastic. Be wonderful. A little less stressful. Matt in San Francisco says, Pelosi is not a difficult name. Miss Three Names really grates my nerves, and that was before she intentionally mispronounced Nancy's last name. What is it with these immature, idiotic fuckwits? How much longer is this nation willing to tolerate them? Well, the problem, Matt, is not that the nation is tolerating them. The problem is that there is a vocal, a noisy vocal plurality that showed up in a perfect storm of stupid in the northwest corner of Georgia, and in which the other candidates bailed out because her gang of brown shirts and thugs were threatening the lives of the other candidates to get her in. And that wasn't by accident. I'm sure she had a hand in that, too. Because it's the kind of gym rat that she is. For fuck's sake. And so, you know, these, and they're all gerrymandered districts, Matt. There's only reason, one reason Louis Asparagus Gohmert is in the Congress, and that is because he is in a district that was specifically gerrymandered to be safe for the craziest ass Republican Texas could find to send. And that's any Republican district. If the Republicans in places like Texas and Alabama and Georgia and the like, if they could gerrymander it in such a way that no Democrat could ever win office, they would do it yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, I'm fully in support of Cori Bush's petition to expel her from the Congress. And frankly, we need more people in the Congress with the courage of Cori Bush, and who care enough about the institution and about the Constitution to not allow, pardon me, white trash like Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball into that supposedly august institution. That's the bottom line. America will no longer have to tolerate her if more Democrats will get, if every Democrat will sign the petition throwing her shitty ass out and get a couple of Republicans on board. You're looking for a two-thirds majority, and the minute that two-thirds level is reached, gone she goes. So there's that. What does it matter, Ron and Raleigh says, as The Rock used to say, it doesn't matter what you think. The conclusions of investigation by the Pelosi committee will not matter to any Republican. No minds will be changed. Only Republicans can investigate Democrats, and only Republicans can investigate Republicans. Precisely. I've heard a couple of references to the 9/11, and the 9/11 commission. I heard it earlier on my filthy morning habit today, and I was like, oh, please don't compare this to that. I mean, really? That time when dim leader sat on Dick Cheney's lap and got operated like a ventriloquist dummy?
I didn't know anything about nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. Never did. Never will. I'm an idiot.
That's right. You're an idiot. But I guess in theory, if enough information is brought forward, then maybe some law enforcement agency will do something. But if, and I've been meaning to bring this up and neglected to, but if it turns out that criminal conduct is uncovered that has not heretofore been charged by people, you know, much higher up, I'm not exactly overflowing with confidence in federal law enforcement to do the right thing, because there is that story out now that there were 4,800 referrals. Relating to the abortive Brett Kavanaugh misinvestigation that the FBI just blew off as something that our pal Joy in Ann Arbor sent along goes, if the person, and here, I like to call this grift algebra, if the person who paid Brett Kavanaugh's $92,000 country club fees is traveling west at 50 miles an hour, and the person who paid his $200,000 credit card debt is traveling east at 45 miles an hour, how soon before the FBI does a real investigation to find out who paid his $1.2 million mortgage? I mean, are we entitled to know that? Because I think we're entitled to know that. Or maybe to find out, or maybe to know at least a little bit about the 4,800 reports that were received by the FBI and just blown off. Yeah? Yeah. So, there's that. Well, the it being a Tuesday and all, let's check in on the green news real quick. Hopefully somebody will meet Billable Rick's challenge. And we won't be looking at $900 tomorrow, because that makes the end of the month really, really scary. Brad and Desi, take it away.
It's Tuesday, July 27, 2021.
More than a month's worth of rainfall in just 24 hours. We could see that again in the coming hours.
London, the latest metropolitan center to be hit by torrential storms and floods. Volatile Middle East grapples with extreme heat, power, and water shortages. Plus,
corners of the so-called first world are getting their first taste of what fossil-fueled wealth could ultimately cost.
New study warns the cost will be very hot and very expensive.
All of those expenses and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
These people are crazy. Whatever happened to cows? Remember they were going to get rid of all the cows? They stopped that. People didn't like that. Remember?
No, actually, I don't remember.
You know why they were going to get rid of all the cows? People will be next. People will be next.
And you say those people are crazy? Sir, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, first off, apologies for playing Donald Trump there. But he's back. He's saying nonsense. And I think people should know about it.
Yes, and he is not going away.
Unfortunately, what do you have for us that isn't insane today?
Well, climate scientists have widely expressed shock at the wave of extreme weather events slamming across the Northern Hemisphere that underscore how nations are not ready for the accelerating impacts of a climate-changed world. After destructive storms and floods in recent weeks hit Germany, Nigeria, Oman, China, and Turkey, over the weekend, a month's worth of torrential rainfall hit famously rainy London, flooding roads and subways, and forcing two hospitals to close.
A month's worth of rain in 24 hours.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that at all, I guess.
In Mumbai, India, unusually intense storms caused widespread regional flooding and landslides that killed at least 25. Torrential storms and flooding hit 30 villages in Uganda. In China, officials say last week's rainfall exceeded all records over the past 5,000 years and caused $10 billion in damages in Zhengzhou City alone.
5,000 years.
But it's also extreme heat. Finland just saw 31 consecutive days above 77 degrees Fahrenheit. That is the longest heat wave ever recorded in that country and led to a spike in heat-related illnesses. In North Africa, heat waves have brought unprecedented temperatures topping 122 degrees. Mm. But it is absolutely the worst in the Middle East. The New York Times reports that decades of neglect and underinvestment have left the Middle East's rickety electric grid unable to meet demand, plunging homes and businesses from Lebanon to Iran into darkness and stirring unrest. Temperatures in several countries have already topped 122 degrees Fahrenheit, among the highest ever recorded, causing repetitive blackouts. Bloomberg reports that in Iran, the hottest summer in decades has triggered water shortages that in turn are sparking deadly protests as extreme heat waves bring day after day after day of record and near record temperatures.
Wow, just a little preview of what we may be looking at in this country before too long.
And speaking of, new research published Monday in the journal Nature Climate Change warns that record-shattering heat waves, even worse than the one that recently hit the U.S. Pacific Northwest, are likely to become much more common in the near future as the rate of man-made global warming accelerates.
Great.
The study projects that extended extreme heat waves lasting a week or more are likely to hit up to 7 times more frequently over the next 30 years, warning that officials must begin preparing now to adapt to unprecedented extremes rather than relying on data from heat waves of the past.
They won't.
Without major emissions cuts, after 2050, such extreme heat could occur up to 21 times more frequently. Dr. Russell Vose, chief of climate monitoring at NOAA, who was not involved in that study, told CNN,
"The last 7 years have been the warmest on record, and they really stand out from the record that preceded it. In fact, to me, when I look at them, it almost hints at a bit of an acceleration in the rate of warming we're seeing globally. I don't expect 10 years from now that we'll be cooler than we are today. If you're a betting person, it's probably a safe bet to assume we'll be warmer in the future, barring, say, some major volcanic eruption."
What does it say when we are rooting for a volcanic eruption to keep our climate cool?
U.S. officials announced on Monday that Lake Powell, the second largest reservoir in the United States, has fallen to its lowest level on record since it was first filled more than 50 years ago. In California, state regulators warned that thousands of farms will soon be cut off from surface water deliveries because intensifying drought is drying up the state's rivers, threatening the survival of the state's million-dollar salmon industry. Officials say most winter-run Chinook salmon in the Sacramento River are likely to die this year. Finally, some good news. The Biden administration on Monday moved to reverse a major Trump administration regulatory rollback. The EPA started the process of restoring regulations to reduce toxic arsenic, lead, and mercury that pollutes rivers and streams near coal plants across the country.
Some good news amongst a whole bunch of really not good news. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I'll tell you what, that Brad and Desi, they're every Tuesday and Thursday just a constant little ray of sunshine. And I thought I was a problem. We're almost to the top of the third hour. I was getting ready to bring Reggie on, and Reggie's gone. So both lines are open on whether you want to come in on the stress line, 844-843-4676, or if you want to come in via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, because it's devilishly apparently difficult to fix. Either one of them will get you onto the program. Let's see here. Okay, goodbye, Little Miss Three Names. Let's take a look here at what it. Oh, thank you, buddy. Stand by. Ferg wanted me to taste his culinary exploits. Brought me a little bite of the steak. It was really good. Hopefully I won't ruin... Maybe I won't ruin dinner for myself after the program. No. We know how this program goes. The person who I guess got the biggest kudos, Capitol Policeman Daniel Hodges, testified today and was questioned by Representative Jamie Raskin, among others. Because he referred to the supporters of Donald Trump who attacked the Capitol of the United States on January 6th as terrorists. And I suspect this is going to be the pull clip from today.
But I can see why someone would take issue with the title of terrorist. It's gained a lot of notoriety in our vocabulary in the past few decades. And we like to believe that, no, that couldn't happen here. No domestic terrorism, no homegrown threats. But I came prepared. U.S. Code, Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 113, B as in Brown, Section 2331. The term domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state. And B, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, or to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States.
Well, I mean... I don't think you give a cowbell for that, but Well, I mean, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it's orange, like, yeah, they are. They're domestic terrorists. And so, it's an applicable term. And this is, of course, what's got people like Little Miss Three Names maiden forms in a bunch. And the evidence support, and you know, anytime you're dealing with proof of a statutory nature, you have to take the facts and you have to apply the facts to the law and the law to the facts and see if it fits. Now, I'm funny this way, but I think carrying a Confederate flag into the rotunda of the Capitol after you and your fellow travelers have just attacked that Capitol and have, in fact, done tremendous property damage to it, well, damn it, the duck, it is quacking. And, you know, all the officers who were testifying talked about what they saw. The tactical gear that they saw that was brought by, among other, the Proud Boys, but the Oath Keepers and the Free Percenters. In point of fact, there was a letter that went out from the Anti-Defamation League to the IRS suggesting that the Three Percenters and other similar groups, well, it turns out they have tax-exempt 501c3 educational organizations, and they raise funds through those things to remain tax-exempt, and they use it for their domestic terrorism. And so the ADL called that out rightly and implored the IRS to damned well please do something about it. Watch this space. And a lot, you know, some of this stuff, well, it goes hand in hand with the anti-vaxxers. They are all of a piece. Sorry about that. Todd just said, "Damn it, Jim, you're breaking up. Ready the transporter." Thanks, Todd. One of the insurrectionists, one of the traitors, is a guy by the name of Samuel Lazar. Now he was arrested because he actually fired chemicals at Capitol Police officers, and said he was by God waging war on January the 6th. I will remind you that the Constitution of the United States says that one definition of treason is waging war against the United States. The guy we're talking about here has been referred to online as Face Paint Blowhard. Now, the people who have pored over the countless hours of video footage to identify people, Samuel Lazar, well, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, despite the positive ID of Samuel Lazar, later confirmed by local and national news outlets, Lazar remained free for months and continued to appear at events hosted by political figures involved in advancing former President Donald Trump's stolen election lies. And so it turns out he's got ties to, and you know, this isn't some allegation of guilt by association. No, no, no. This guy is close to a maggot insurrectionist member of Congress named Doug Mastriano. And Yeah, among other things, he bragged, face paint blowhard did. In this video, they maced us, those tyrannical pieces of shit, and we maced them right the fuck back, and now they're taking the building. And he said, they attack the people. We have a right to defend ourselves. Fuck the tyrants. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. I was right at the front, on the tip of the spear, brother. That's where you gotta be. And then, of course, his courage diminished a little bit, and he deleted all that shit from Facebook. Donald Trump's gonna shock the world. We're ready for war if needed. Our Constitution allows us to abolish our government and install a new one in its place. Well, he's been photographed at a fundraiser with Mastriano. And Mastriano is said, and Arnold, if you're still out there, is said to be a leading GOP contender for the Pennsylvania governor's office in 2022. And, of course, Lazar posed with Mastriano, and as well as a Pennsylvania right-wing piece of trash Senate contender Kathy Barnett of Montgomery County and State Representative Stephanie Borowitz of Wayne Township and Teddy Daniels, who's running for Congress to represent Northeast Pennsylvania. And now he's trying to get away from all that, too. The Philadelphia Inquirer reporting, Mastriano, responding to the photos, has since denied knowing Lazar. Never heard of him. You know, just like Nitwit Nero had never heard of Michael Cohen. And publicly condemned his actions at the Capitol, saying, why would you assume that every politician who takes a picture with someone at an event automatically knows who they are or agrees with what they believe? There's only a problem. Only a couple of problems. There was more than one random event where Lazar and Mastriano were photographed together. There were two earlier events, one in late November, and then on a December trip to Washington, where they posed outside the Supreme Court while they were there for a Stop the Steal rally. The Inquirer reporting, Mastriano's campaign spent thousands of dollars chartering buses to Washington for Trump supporters on January 6th, and despite the Franklin County Republicans' public condemnation of the riot, bullshit, not a riot, the insurrection, and claimed that he left as soon as violence broke out, videos have since surfaced that appear to depict him passing through breached barricades near people brawling with police. Yeah. He's been, Lazar, from Ephrata, E-P-H-R-A-T-A, Pennsylvania, was charged with assaulting and obstructing law enforcement officers, along with violent, unlawful entry at the Capitol. Please, can one of these miserable pieces of shit be charged with treason? Waging war against the United States of America. It's right there, easy to find in the Constitution. Oh, well, I know, it's been super... No, wait, you can't supersede the Constitution of the United States with a statute. Oh, well. But, now today's hearing was public. They will not all be. Some of them will be behind closed doors. I find that regrettable. The American people need to see every goddamn word of this. But, interviewed by CNN's Manu Raju, the chairman of the Select Committee, Representative Benny Thompson, a Democrat from Mississippi, indicated they're not going to be playing footsie with the maggots. They're not going to say, you know, could we sit down and negotiate with you as to whether or not you're going to appeal? No. Representative Thompson said, let us just lengthen the time. We just want to get it all done. And so they're going to go straight to subpoenas. You know, if there had, and this is the idiocy of the maggot right wing. They had an opportunity to have a truly bipartisan commission made up of both members of the House and Senate and in equal numbers Democrat and Republican. And no subpoena could have issued without Republican support. But no, Mitch McConnell said they didn't, and Mitch McConnell is, well, one of the gods. And Mitch McConnell said, "Oh, we can't be having that kind of a thing here. I mean, we got enough investigating going on. I got a country to fuck." And so this select committee now can issue all the damn subpoenas it wants to and have the full weight of the congressional power, of the subpoena power, behind it. And so Chairman Thompson said that they're going to meet with, and they really will meet with Merrick Garland. No, we told them we're coming, we're going over there. Shut up, Marge. They really will meet with Merrick Garland. They're going to ask for all the relevant data. They're going to ask for the evidence that was compiled by impeachment investigators. And they're going to compile a damning record. Not because they're trying to compile a damning record, but because the information that comes out will be damning. And how do we know it's going to be damning? Because White Wing Media is already going into full-on shithead mode. Four of the officers who testified, including Capitol Police Officer Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell, well, they're being attacked, and of course it's being led by some scum from Newsmuck, some dude named Greg Kelly. He went on Twitter and asked of Capitol Police Officer Michael Fanone, who gave detailed testimony on the way that he was attacked by a mob of insurrectionists. So Greg Kelly goes on Twitter and says, "Is it possible Fanone was mistaken for Antifa? He often, for media appearances, has worn all black, but no insignia, police patches, rank, etc. Did they pick these cops because they're so emotional? Do these guys know who shot Ashley Babbitt? Ask them." Well, you know, you might could ask them, you dumbass, but your maggot Republicans there, you couldn't find anybody to put on there to ask, and, you know, even the three that were okay. Yeah, no. All right. Then there's Raheem J. Kassam, who used to be the editor-in-chief of that of the London bureau of that news outfit that rhymes with light and fart, said, "Is there really a Capitol Hill police officer crying about hurdy words live on national television right now? Fucking whole world is laughing at this shit." Well, Raheem J. Kassam may have been laughing, but decent people were not. Hurty words. Talking about police officers who damn near died. Then there's Kurt Schlichter. And, you know, you go to the Schlichter cutoff and you get out of your car and cut off your Schlichter. A million units of penicillin will clear up that Schlichter for you, Kurt. He attacked Officer Harry Dunn and said that Officer Dunn's testimony was disheartening and disappointing. It's disheartening and disappointing to live in a country with people that attack you because of the color of your skin just to hurt you. Those words are weapons, Harry Dunn said. Schlichter replied, "You lying sack." And then, of course, because it wouldn't be complete without the use of this phrase, there's Julie Kelly, who referred to Officer Fanone as a crisis actor. Crisis actor Fanone just beat on the table and said it's disgraceful that any elected official denies his narrative of what happened on January 6th. Calls it an insurrection. blasting GOP lawmakers, now says this isn't about politics, LOL. He has many tattoos. What do tats have to do with anything? Beats me. Hey, thank you, Kevin, in South Africa. Kevin just took us down to only $22 to go on the Summer of 64 challenge. Thank you so very much. Thank you so much indeed. So those officers, Harry Dunn, Aquilino Gonnell, Michael Fanone, and Daniel Hodges, as far as I'm concerned, they did their patriotic duties today. And you know they did them well, because the scumbag gut buckets are attacking them. It was a bad, it was an ugly day over at Newsmuck. Again, under questioning from Jamie Raskin, Officer Fanone, who is with the D.C. Metro Police. Well, Representative Raskin, let's go to the audio.
Forgive me for these questions, but I've got to ask you. Apparently, in some nether regions of the internet, it's being said that you, Officer Fanone, maybe were mistaken for Antifa, and that's why you were nearly beaten to death that day and carried in the crowd. Is there any way you think you were mistaken for Antifa?
Well, I was in full uniform. I was, like I said, wearing my uniform shirt adorned with the Metropolitan Police Department's patch. I had my badge on until somebody ripped it off my chest. I do not believe I was mistaken for a member of Antifa.
Pretty clear, huh? Well, that's what drove Greg Kelly bananas. None of these cops can be trusted with weapons. Resign! Greg Kelly would shit his pants if he was within 100 statute miles of even a tenth of the danger that those cops faced that day. There's plenty of problems with cops in America. Make no mistake. But the mistakes weren't on that day. They were trying to do the best that they could under unbearable situations. And the Antifa bullshit just makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. Anything to evade their own responsibility. Because while some Republicans may have lashed out early on when the threat to them was real and immediate, well, with the passage of time and putting time and distance between themselves and the moment, they've realized that they're toast without the insurrectionists. They lose everything. Their whole party is compromised. Down to the last little rock-ribbed Republican. I mean, I don't know who's going to vote for Dick in a Wig out in Wyoming, and I don't know who's going to vote for Adam Kinzinger. They both may be toast. But probably not, because the maggots aren't that sharp. And they'll probably run, every maggot in the district is probably going to sign up to run against both of them. And they will thereby drain off any hope of unseating them in the primary. Would I be thrilled to pieces if a Democrat could win in either of those districts? Absolutely. In some ways, I almost wish, though, more fervently, that somebody could, and people are, there are people who have announced that they intend to run for the Democratic nomination to take on Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, and Little Miss Three Names. But do they have a chance? That I don't know. But like I said, it was a bad day at Newsmuck. When Officer Fanone was testifying, Newsmuck cut away from his testimony because they did not dare allow that information to reach their brain-dead audience. Because, again, Newsmuck is dead without the insurrectionists. Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, is dead without the insurrectionists. You have got to be part of the insurrectionist movement in this country if you want to be a Republican. Period. Full stop. And so instead of broadcasting Officer Fanone's testimony, this.
Well, on the bright side, we're finally hearing Democrats say nice things about police officers. So there is that. Where were these guys over the last year? 576 violent clashes, 2,000 police officers injured, billions of dollars in property damage, dozens, not one or two, dozens of people killed. And the
This is Rick Green, attorney and former Texas state legislator. Did he quit to spend more time with his family? I don't know. Yeah, former. And Newsmuck decided that was more, having his blatherings was more important than hearing from Officer Fanone testifying about the domestic terror assault on the Capitol on January the 6th.
Democrats didn't have anything nice to say about the police then. In fact, Kamala Harris encouraged people to bail out.
Kamala, dumbass, but never mind.
The folks that were creating that violence, and yet people arrested on the January 6th event can't get bail. So there's definitely a two-tiered justice system. Look, the important question here is, if this was a real investigation, we'd be asking, why in the world, who gave the stand-down order? Why in the world was there not enough police officers there? And I got to say, one of the officers said, you know, Donald Trump was egging them on instead of sending help. Donald Trump wanted more military presence there, and more police officers there, and it was turned down. So why did Nancy Pelosi allow this situation to happen in the first place? And why are we not asking the questions about all the video we've seen of Capitol police officers literally removing the barricades and inviting people in to the Capitol? What they're after here is to take the ones that should be put in jail for the violence and attacking police officers, taking those few and trying to...
Apparently he's not seen the video that the rest of us saw. Those few. We few. We happy few. No.
To make it look like anybody that ever supported Donald Trump was a part of that.
In many ways, they are. Maybe they didn't go on January the 6th, but by God, they were rooting at home back on the home front. Oh, yeah. And, of course, we know now that law enforcement, military, are all, to one degree or another, infiltrated by the oath keepers and the free percenters and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff and the Proud Boys. But that all that blather that you just heard was for no other purpose than to keep the people who tuned into that from actually hearing it. And it takes on a certain level of greater importance when you realize that they had to book that guy in advance. They knew the this outfit. They had meetings. There's an editorial meeting every day where they decide what the coverage is going to be about and what they're going to talk about. And so, lo and behold, there we are. They had a meeting, and they got this guy on the blower and said, hey, can you come on, We'll break away and let you talk instead of having our audience actually find out what the hell was going on January the 6th. You up for that? Damn straight! I can do 15, 20 minutes. That's what we want, buddy. That's what we want. Lord God. And even, and I don't trust her. And if that's a character flaw on my part, that's fine. But I don't trust Dick in a wig. But she has definitely had about enough of the so-called leadership of her party.
MAGA forces tried to steal the election once, and they're going to try again. And we don't hear Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and Lee Stefanik say...
Obviously, that's Jake Tapper at CNN, and he is interviewing Dick in a wig. But did you catch those first few words? Hi, Jake. Glad you could tune in, buddy. Y'all, they're going to do it again, and Jake Tapper just said so.
MAGA forces tried to steal the election once, and they're going to try again. And we don't hear Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and Lee Stefanik say, no, we would never do that again. There is zero attempt at reassuring people that what you are suggesting is not true.
Look, you know, in some ways, I think it's actually even worse than that, Jake. I think that we're in a situation where the people that you mentioned seem to view this as some sort of a partisan political game. And, you know, as every American who watched saw this morning.
Ah, Jesus, Daddy's little deferment. Everything to your party is a partisan political game. Goddamn, you played them, sister. Confession's good for the soul. Say so. Say you played it. Say you did it. Say, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm only going to do what's best for the country. Oops, you can't do that. Oh, hell no. Guess who one of the biggest opponents of the AIC Act in the House of Representatives is? The Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. You're listening to her. Not me, her. Dick in a wig, who would be more than happy to see every Appalachian person, every hillbilly poisoned, as long as it was good for the coal industry. I mean, there's a reason you never see her and Joe Manchin in a room together. Well, I mean, okay, you kind of, I guess, but yeah, never mind.
Morning. This is really deadly serious. This is a situation where... the institutions held, but it was a close-run thing. And as the chairman said, we didn't have a peaceful transfer of power. You know, we had an insurrection. We had an assault on the Capitol. And today you had members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, actually protesting in front of the Justice Department on behalf of the people who were here and who've been arrested because they participated in the riot and in the insurrection. I mean, that...
And you know, who came there hoping to hang by the neck until dead the Vice President of the United States of America. Yeah, it's like John in Central PA says, okay, he's on the right side of history, but I don't trust Adam Kinzinger. If he's so good, why isn't he a Democrat? Well, he's not good. But he is, you know, he's at least getting this part right. But remember, a stopped clock is right twice a day. This isn't, this only seems as heroic as it does because of what it is compared with. My God. It's only shocking by virtue of the fact that these are the only two out there. The rest of the Republican Party is gone. It is gone off to maggot land, and it's never coming back. Even if the news broke that Nitwit Nero had breathed out and not breathed in again, maggotry would not disappear because there are eager politicians just yearning to take control of his cadre of hard cases and dead enders, because there's enough there to sway an election as long as you play the Electoral College game right and are able to leverage that racist institution from our enslaving past. They calculate that shit down to the last Electoral College vote.
That's a stunning and indefensible turn of events.
That was going on one end of Washington. On the other end, on Capitol Hill, the strategy from House Republican leaders McCarthy, Scalise, Stefanik was to counter the committee hearing with their press conference, where their basic message was Speaker Pelosi is to blame. Take a listen to this from Congresswoman Stefanik.
The American people deserve to know the truth that Nancy Pelosi bears responsibility as Speaker of the House for the tragedy that occurred on January 6th.
I mean, that's obviously not...
That was Elise Stupidnik.
Nonsense. Speaker Pelosi is not in charge of security in the House anymore than then-Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was. What's your reaction when you hear them try to blame Pelosi for an insurrection incited and inspired and even directed in some ways by Donald Trump?
Well, I would say a couple of things, Jake. Number one, this committee is going to investigate every aspect of what happened, the planning, the financing, the preparation, the motivation, what was happening that day in the White House, what was happening here at the Capitol, the security breaches at the Capitol. So for anybody to suggest that we aren't going to be conducting a complete investigation is wrong. Number two, if I were saying the things that you just played, I'd be deeply ashamed of myself. What happened is absolutely clear. We had, as we heard this morning, just intolerable cruelty. A mob that was assembled by President Trump was provoked by him. He lit the flame for what happened. We've seen that not just in the speech on the Ellipse, but throughout. What this committee needs to understand is exactly what the details were of the planning and the financing. But for anybody to be suggesting that somehow he wasn't responsible, I think it's shameful.
You didn't know Speaker Pelosi particularly well before this. You are a very conservative Republican. She's a very progressive Democrat. You're both fairly partisan. What's it been like working with Pelosi?
Hold on a minute, because there's just a little observation there. I feel comfortable saying that she will be reelected in 2022, and she'll be reelected in 2024. Here's a question. Let's say in 2024, Nitwit Nero comes back. I know, I just ruined everybody's dinner, lunch, weekend brunch. I know. But let's just posit that for a moment. He's reelected in 2024, becoming the only president apart from, I believe, Grover Cleveland ever to serve two terms non-consecutively. How will Liz Cheney vote then? I'm not talking about the insurrection. I'm talking about the usual stuff that she voted on to routinely and regularly. Fuck the American people. How will she? Is she going to stop that? No, she's not going to stop voting that way. Tigers don't change their stripes. Leopards don't change their spots. And skunks don't change their stripes either. That is why I'm so suspicious of her. Because she's never going to stop being daddy's little deferment. She's never going to stop doing horrible things to the American people. Remember that $1.5 trillion tax cut for the ultra wealthy? She was right there with Trump on it. Oh, yes, Jesus, she was. Every piece of legislation that had to do with screwing over people who want to breathe clean air or drink clean water, she's there. She's right there. I sat in the gallery of the House one February, maybe March 2017, and I watched as she and the rest of her Republican colleagues overturned pieces of administrative law designed to make it more possible for people to have clean air and water in this country. So I'm trying to get my head around the cultish fascination with her, and I don't know it again. You know, you got to book these people. So you know somebody higher up, maybe Jake Tapper, you know, get me Liz Cheney, because her point of view is what. I mean, she's on the committee. Let's see if she does anything substantive if it comes time to start naming names, because, well, they're not all going to be names that she hates. And some of the wealthy fundraisers and the like are probably people that have done her good over the years. And so, And by the way, we got 25 minutes left in the program. $22 meets Rick's challenge. $22. And we are very close to having a very deep hole as we go through the week. $22. Somebody got that? Do two people have $11? Whatever. That would be... God, it's just... Because Bill Woolrick just asked... has my challenge been met yet? I'm 40 minutes behind your showtime. If it doesn't get met by the close of the program, it can be renewed through tomorrow. Oh, it needs to be met this evening, Billable. It so does. Very progressive. You know, Jake Tapper said, well, you know, you're very conservative. Nancy Pelosi's very progressive. Ron and Raleigh says, you know my feelings about Miss Nancy, but even you have to admit that at best, Miss Nancy is center-left, just like Barack Obama. Yeah, well... What left? I don't think there's any left anywhere. I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, and I hadn't actually intended to bring this up, but yeah, here we are. I read the other day that Susan Sarandon joined in with a group of other members of the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol, had gone to protest at the offices of, that's right, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Holy shit! When even AOC cannot match up to the purity tests of people like Susan Sarandon, well, I mean, doesn't that give you a pretty good idea of who and where those people are? Honest to God. Going to protest. Yeah, I'm sure. I guess AOC is a goddamn neoliberal establishment shill now, huh? I think Nancy Pelosi has some progressive leanings. I mean, she has certainly passed some extremely progressive legislation out of that body. The For the People Act wasn't exactly an exercise in wild-eyed centrism. No, neither was the PRO Act. Just and as was the case in 2009, 2010, so it is now that the House of Representatives has done its damn job. But they get smeared with the same bucket of slop that the Senate does. And Senate Republicans just sit and giggle. Just sit and giggle. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs, thank you so much, dear. Billable Rick's challenge has been met. Thank you so very, very much. I'm letting Billable know. So that means that At least we're not at, well, we're about 796 tomorrow, I think, if things continue. Oh, but back to Daddy's little deferment.
You know, I've been really impressed with the professionalism and the commitment to the truth from the speaker and every member of this committee. I think that, you know, as I said this morning, this is a moment that has to be above politics. It's a moment where we all need to say to ourselves, are we going to abide by our oath? And are we going to put...
And then, you know, there will be other moments that are not above politics. And then she'll just be Daddy's little deferment. Brother Deacon Asa says, I'd argue that it was Drumpf who voted with Cheney et al. 96% of the time, not the other way around. He wanted things. They gave them to him. That's my point.
Put politics and partisanship aside and get to the truth? Or are we going to go down a path that fundamentally threatens the rule of law? And that's just, that's not something I'm willing to do. And I think it's crucial for the country that we all conduct ourselves that way.
At the end of today's hearing, one of the four officers, Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, said this about you and your fellow Republican on the committee, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Take a listen.
Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are being lauded as courageous heroes. And while I agree with that notion, why? Because they told the truth? Why is telling the truth hard?
Precisely my point.
I guess in this America, it is.
What were you thinking when he said that?
I was thinking that Harry and the other officers there, they are the heroes. They're the ones who saved likely our lives, many of us. They're the ones who protected and defended this Capitol. They are heroes. And that as elected officials, as I was sitting there, I was reminded that our job is to conduct ourselves in a way that is worthy of the sacrifices they made and their willingness to fight, as I said, to the death. They believed they might die, and they were willing. Officer Gunnell, Sergeant Gunnell said, you know, I knew I might die, but I understood that might be something that I just have to face in order to defend the Capitol building. And so as elected officials, we all have to conduct ourselves in a way that is worthy of them and worthy of the republic that we've sworn, the Constitution that we've sworn to defend.
You've said that some of your Republican colleagues are actually saying one thing publicly and quite different things to you behind the scenes. What are they saying behind the scenes?
You know, I think we've seen since January 6th, certainly, concern among, you know, a number of Republicans that public actions could either, you know, bring political consequences or could bring, you know, real security threats. And so we've seen people who in private will say that they recognize and understand the necessity of the truth and the necessity of getting to the truth, and are, you know, trying in public not to draw the wrath of the former president, frankly.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
She's right. There's that stop clock being right twice a day. I mean, everything she says is true. But I think the Capitol Police officer had it right. Why is that so damned hard just to recognize that treason isn't all right? And the answer, I don't know if they got to it or will get to it. The answer is that some people want the treasonous behavior. Some people really do want to destroy anything we recognize as constitutional governance. And remember, a bunch of these goons are the same people who, among other things, wanted an Article 5 convention of the states. Let's not forget that thing. It's still out there. Remember Article 5? The one that lets states call a convention in order to do things to the Constitution as opposed to the usual amendment process of having it introduced in the Congress, getting two-thirds support in both houses, and then being sent to the legislatures? Yeah. Remember, they said they wanted to go there for, you know, we just want a balanced budget amendment, which would be the stupidest thing that American government has lately done, a balanced budget amendment. A country that prints its own money does not need a balanced budget amendment. That's the long and the short of it, for a variety of reasons. But as Madison himself pointed out, once you've ginned up a constitutional convention and gaveled it into order, all bets are off. Whatever they promised they were only going to do is no longer beholden, because all the rules are out the window. Ta-da! Yeah. And thank you. Thank you to Dave, and thank you to Mark. And thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mark. We are now down to 7:49 for tomorrow. And that's really helpful. That's a dollar less than... So we did half of Monday today. That's so awesome. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Jeremy. Thanks to Joey and Giraffe, and thank you to Billable Rick. That is tremendously helpful.
McCarthy said yesterday that the committee is a sham, the outcome's predetermined, that you and Adam Kinzinger are quote-unquote Pelosi Republicans, although we should note he votes with Pelosi a lot more than you do. How do you convince the Republican base that this is a legitimate investigation?
Well, I think today was a real start. I think that today and the broadcasting of the testimony of these witnesses and beginning to help to get the facts out is really important, and that's the beginning of this process. I think that Leader McCarthy and every leader has an obligation to the truth. Some of us feel like, you know, we ought to conduct ourselves accordingly. I think Leader McCarthy is continuing to demonstrate that, you know, he views this as some sort of a political game. It's not a game, and it's deadly serious when you're taking action to try to divert attention away and distract from an investigation like this one.
What does it say about Kevin McCarthy that he's more offended by you and Adam Kinzinger than, you know, for standing up for the truth, for being part of this committee, than he's offended by, for instance, Congressman Gosar, who openly flirts with white nationalists, white supremacists, not to mention everything that Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene stand for?
Look, the structure of our republic, the foundation that the framers laid out in our Constitution, depends upon elected officials abiding by their oath. It depends upon us understanding when the time for politics is over. It depends upon us all making a decision that we love our country so much that we will put partisanship aside. And I wish that Leader McCarthy would do that. I think that's what his job requires, and I think that the Republican Party and, frankly, the country deserves leadership who will do that.
Lastly, how afraid are you that we are within years of American democracy being over?
I am not willing to stand by and let us continue that drift. I think that we are at a really important and, frankly, quite perilous moment. If we look the other way, if we accept what happened on January 6th, if we accept what people, my colleagues, are saying, that, you know, we should somehow look at this as a bunch of tourists, they're trying to whitewash it, ignore it. If we go down that path, then we really are abandoning the rule of law, and we are abandoning what is one of the most fundamental elements of our republic, which is the peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah, that's great, but can I just remind us all of something? The rule of law has been in dire peril from Republicans since somewhere around 1971. Actually, 1968, if you think about how Richard Nixon thwarted LBJ's attempts to get out of Vietnam. And then, of course, there's Watergate. And we all said, oh, damn, that Richard Nixon, he was a crook. And then the country bought into a greasy-haired old B-movie actor who brought in the single most criminal administration that American history had known to that point. But wait, there's more. Then the guy who was only recently Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr to prosecution, Attorney General Pepe the Frog Barr himself, the same, well, under George H.W. Bush, he gave a pass, recommended to George H.W. Bush that he give a pass to every one of the goddamn criminals, practically, from the Reagan administration. And we thought, wow, man, that's some dirty shit. And then, almost 30 years later, he did it again. So I get a little jaded when I hear Republicans like Daddy's Little Deferment here talking about the rule of law. Because there is frankly no argument that the Republican Party has a damn bit of interest in the rule of law. None. Where was the rule of law when Daddy's Little Deferment's daddy was telling an entire raft of lies to get a country that had never attacked us attacked by us? Huh? Where was the rule of law then? Where was the rule of law when Colin Powell was throwing away all of his credibility, saying, my friends, these are not speculations, these are facts. And all of that godforsaken, bloody, homicidal, psychopathic blather about aluminum tubes and yellow cake uranium. Where was the rule of law then? Nowhere to be found. And so it ever is with Republicans. You want rule of law? Stop letting outlaws run the goddamn government. It's not that complicated. Do Democrats screw up too? Absolutely. And we apparently have no problem sending them to prison for it. But I'm not going to have any confidence whatsoever in this process. If we don't start seeing some charges more grave than entry into a restricted area, because it doesn't, why should we think they're taking it seriously when they show us that they're not? And as dramatic as today's testimony was, it was a congressional hearing. Nobody, there is no direct power to indict. There's no direct power to impanel a grand jury. There's no power to try. This is all just fact-finding. Now, one can take the Fifth Amendment in a congressional hearing. And I suspect if they get around to asking, to subpoenaing the right people, you're going to see some Fifth Amendment taking, right to remain silent and all of that, right against self-incrimination. You're going to see it. It's going to be there. And it's not going to be pretty. And I don't know how long this commission will last. Benny Thompson, Representative Thompson, the chairman, keeps talking about, we want to get our work done. We want to get our work done. Nothing moves that quickly. Nothing moves that quickly in Washington, D.C. Brother Deacon Asa says, to be fair, they did find some aluminum tubes in the Iraq, such as paintball is said to have been taking off in that part of the world back in the early aughts. Oh, God. Paintball. Yellow cake paintball, right? And Lee in New York says, rule of law, Republican version. Their version is if Republicans do it, it's not a violation of the rule of law. Obviously. How many years? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican, which is a direct corollary to Richard Pinhead Nixon telling David Frost, well, you see, David, if the president does it, that means it's not illegal. Whew, man. But, I mean, there's a history there. Yeah, I'm partisan. I've never voted for a single Republican in my entire life, and I have no plans to start. I don't care what kind of Republican they call themselves. Oh, well, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm not a Trump Republican. Don't care. I don't share a single goddamn thing in common with you. Why would I ever give you my vote? Especially now. We have to give it to the Cheneys, Arthur says. They know when it's time to shoot things in the face, and Liz Cheney knows it's time to shoot this brown shirt convention in the face, lest they get in the way of the controlled corporate overtake of the country. Really? That hasn't already happened? Besides, they showed up a couple of years too early. Well, this was just a dress rehearsal. Remember that. Subject line, Dick in a Wig. Darlene in Connecticut says, Dick in a Wig chooses her words very, very carefully. She did not cut to the chase, stating, putting this country first over partisanship. She said, putting partisanship aside for the country. And as a practitioner of the art of knowing words, Darlene points out a very salient fact in that regard. It gives her that out that she needs when she puts partisanship first over the good of the country, which she has often done. Every vote she's ever taken. And so to holler partisanship now rings a little hollow to me. Sorry about that, Jack. Jack in Shreveport has said, I lost White Rose about 35 minutes after the hour. It's back up now. HeadOn.live stayed up for me, and I'm on it now. Oh, never a dull moment. And I'm sorry about the PayPal thing. PayPal wants to verify Jack's reality. And they'll either send you a code to your email on file, or they'll send a code to your phone number, and that lets them know you're you, I guess. I don't know. But Jack says, I don't like PayPal's practices on grabbing people's information. They're underhanded in doing it, and that's just not my opinion. No. The problem is, it's a giant shrieking pain in the ass. Oh, and thank you. Thank you to Brandon and Fennell. Went to the post office. And thank you to Dave in Kentucky. Thank you so much. And thank you as well to Dennis in Columbus. Thank you also very much for being partial sponsors of the program. And so here we are. The program has flown by again. In this case, a three-hour filler obster. But it was information dense. Always is. And so thanks each and every one of you who, as partial sponsors of the program, help keep this program on the air through your PayPal and Patreon subscriptions and through your a la carte contributions. Thank you so very much. Thanks for making it possible for everybody who wants to listen to listen. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose, even if it prompts you to send correspondence telling me that referring to me as you grotesquely ugly piece of shit. I guess thanks for listening. And thanks for all the other, all the kind words. Far, far more. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Jack Randy Radar points out that if you're running a VPN, it helps to turn it off for PayPal purposes. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on dot live. Hope you get to feeling better. Just make sure you don't get your neck sucked into the refrigerator when you walk past from all that magnetism. And, you know, just kind of feel around on the top of your head. Make sure you're not sprouting any antlers. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2073, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Brother Deacon Asa is going to be fine. If you know someone who isn't vaccinated, please encourage them so to do. Because it's the Delta variant is doing hellish things to a broad swath of unvaccinated people and some vaccinated ones. Use all your frontline precautions. Wash your hands frequently. Don't touch your face. Wear gloves if you're in a situation where that would be a good idea. Wear face masks if you're around people who might not be vaccinated. Maintain your social distance among people who might not be vaccinated. And, you know, if somebody comes up to you saying, "Those tourists are political prisoners," avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.